This Sunday is the second Sunday of Christmas. The Psalm of the day is Psalm 119, 97 through 104. The Old Testament reading is 1 Kings 3, verses 4 through 15. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And the gospel is from St. Luke 2, 40 to 52. Pastor Magruder will now read you his sermon entitled The Name.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's one little verse in Luke, easily overlooked in his account of Jesus' birth and infancy. But the little verse demonstrates Dr. Luke's attention to detail. Up until this verse, he does not refer to Jesus by name. In Bethlehem's manger, he's simply a baby, a swaddled newborn with no name. He didn't have a name until today, 8 days after his birth. Today, he gets his name, Jesus. And with his name, he gets the mark of the covenant, circumcision. It's really kind of an odd day, the name and circumcision of our Lord. While the rest of the world is nursing its New Year's hangover and settling in for some college bowl games and parades, the church sets aside January 1st, the 8th day of Christmas, to celebrate the name and the circumcision of Jesus. And unless you are Jewish by background, this seems like a weird thing to celebrate. We're not sure precisely when the naming custom came in, though clearly it was observed at the time of Jesus. The 8th day circumcision is prescribed in the ceremonial law in the book of Leviticus. There was no notion of waiting until the child was old enough to decide for himself. On the 8th day, every baby boy born in Israel received the sign of the covenant, and became a son of the covenant, an Israelite, and with his identity, he now gets a name. And so it went with Jesus, as it went with every baby boy born in Israel. He is given the name Yeshua, Jesus, which means in Hebrew, Yahweh, God, is salvation. For he will save his people from their sins. And how will he accomplish this? How will he save his people from their sins? Today, we remember how. Jesus, at his circumcision, is becoming obedient to the law by becoming a son of the covenant, by becoming an Israelite, by shedding his blood under the law to redeem those who were under the law, those held captive by sin and death. This is precisely why the Son of God became flesh and was born. He was born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, St. Paul wrote. And here is his first act of obedience. On Christmas Eve we sang, "But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes." I doubt that was true when on the 8th day he experiences in his own infant flesh what it means to be under the law. Think of this event as a prelude to the cross. To understand this day and the significance of Jesus' circumcision, you need to understand fully who Jesus is as the incarnate Son. In the letter to the Romans, St. Paul called Jesus the second Adam. He's all of humanity in one person. He is the stand-in for the entire human race, and he embodies all of humanity in his own body. Paul works this out for us further in his letter to the Colossian church. Now, this is a point that many people miss entirely, so listen closely and try to catch what he's saying. For in him, Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, this is truly amazing. It means that as an 8-day-old baby boy, Jesus is fully God of God, light of light, true God of true God, fully divine as well as fully human. And that union of divinity with humanity makes some things possible that otherwise would be impossible of a human being. It means that he is able to embrace others into himself, so that what happens to him also happens to them in him. It also means that he, though he may be a helpless baby or a dying man on a cross, is the head of all rule and authority. And being the head, he embodies the whole creation and all of humanity in himself. Now, if you get that, then you get the next sentence, that in him, all of you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the circumcision of Christ. That includes the boys and the girls. And it wasn't done on you, it was done on Jesus. And being done on Jesus, Paul says, you were included. In other words, you might say that when Christ was circumcised and became a son of Israel, so did you in him. And that's why circumcision became a free thing in the New Testament, something completely free, optional, and religiously unnecessary. You also see what it represented, the putting off of the body of the flesh, the death of the old Adam. And there's more. You were buried with Christ in baptism, and even more, you were raised with him through faith. And if I can borrow a bit from Colossians chapter 3, you are even exalted, seated, and glorified at the right hand of God in Christ, always in Christ. Don't forget that. The second great gift of this 8th day of Christmas is Jesus' name, the name that is above every name. Yet it is an ordinary, common, human name. There were lots of babies named Jesus in Israel. But joined to his divinity, that name becomes the uniquely saving name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we are saved. With his name comes the promise of his presence, that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. With his name comes the mandate to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to the ends of the earth. With his name is the promise of prayer, that whatever you ask in his name, his Father and your Father in heaven will grant it. with his name is the promise of forgiveness, of life, of salvation, of peace in this new year. None of us knows what the new year will bring in terms of health, wealth, and love. The days and the seasons are the Lord's, and everything we do always has, if the Lord be willing, written across it, as St. James rightly says. But we do know this, and have it as our certainty during uncertainty. We have been gifted with Jesus, obedience under the law. We have been gifted with his perfect righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, and we have his name, the name by which we are saved, for he will save his people from their sins. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who, with the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, O Lord, and let your loving kindness descend on us, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.